The following audio is from Foundation Life Bible Church. More information about Foundation Life is available at www.foundationlbc.com.
So I hope your reading in Psalm 119 has gone well. We're going to be today in 1 Peter chapter 4 and also in Revelation. So you can mark your Bibles, maybe use your bookmark if you're comfortable with that. But let me go ahead and open us up in prayer, and then we will see what the Lord has for us. Father God, I thank you for our church family. I thank you for these brothers and sisters, Lord, who are striving to know you more, God. And Father, we expect that anytime we open your word, anytime we hear from you, Lord, we know it's your Spirit's work. And so, God, I pray that today we receive what you have for us, Lord. I pray that today, Lord, where there's conviction, Lord, we turn to you. We let it draw closer to you, God. Because we as your church, Lord, desire more than anything else to bring glory to you. Thank you for loving us in spite of our sin. Thank you for being faithful, Lord, when many times we are not. And thank you for loving us when many times we choose the world. Guide us today by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you recall, our takeaway from last week was three words. Trust his providence. Trust the Lord's providence. And I know some of you this past week were stretched in that, were pulled in that, and standing on that truth of who our God is. And I want to remind you the words of Mordecai to Esther after God made her queen. Let me read it to you. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position, and here it is, for such a time as this. And of course, that's from Esther chapter 4, verse 14. So let's ask some questions about that. Did we prayerfully consider this week who God placed in our circles? Did we prayerfully consider those opportunities? When we were communicating, when we were on social media, opportunities to serve, opportunities to love, opportunities to encourage, opportunities to speak truth to. I got to tell you, I like this sitting down a lot better. This is good. But as I thought about the current events unfolding across our globe, we've been reminded as a human race that we really are helpless. Many times our proud hearts tell us that we have answers, that we can figure these things out. But what we're reminded of is the things that we hold tightly to, the things of this world, they're fleeting, aren't they? I think we're all learning that in some capacity. And the truth is we don't have all the answers. And as the scripture tells us, the lust of the flesh, the pride of our eyes, the pride of life, constantly deceives all of us. But if we look at the events, if we look at this pandemic, it's clear that the Lord is shaking things up. But what if this shaking was for the church first? What if this pandemic, as we're going through right now, was the mercy of God? I ask you to think about that. And picture with me, if you will, God having this world suspended. Suspended in the air with his mighty hand. And here's how I like to think about it. How many of you have ridden the pirate ship at King's Island? Do you have that in your mind right now? Are you with me? You know, the large, awful, swinging pirate ship that causes motion sickness for some of us, or me. Candidly speaking, that's not something that I'm going to do again. I'm pretty confident in that. But if you have ridden this attraction, then you understand that as the ship begins to swing, there's a point where it reaches its highest point. Way up here. It reaches its highest place. And it stops for a few seconds. And it's suspended in the air. For those of you that have ridden this, you understand this. And it seems like a lot longer than 2 seconds. But in that moment, there's an anxiousness that comes over us. There's a feeling of anticipating what it will be like to fall, that the bottom is going to drop out. And so as our sovereign Lord has everything suspended right now, to me, he's inviting his church. He's inviting his body to take time for reflection, to take time for self-examination. And I believe that this is a time not just for the world's heart to be softened, but I believe this is a time for God's church to repent. In fact, this week in conversations, in emails, in text messages, the Lord affirmed that through some of you. Randy, Craig, and Margie, I appreciate what you shared this week. And I think there were even others of you that maybe I'm forgetting. But let me stop and caution us for a moment. I want us to think about something. This is not a one-time shot. Repentance is not a one-time shot. Because our sinful nature, because of our flesh, coming clean before the Lord and walking back toward Him should be a regular occurrence. Amen? It's something we should constantly be doing. It should be a regular practice. So if you would please, now you can turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 17, but we want to keep it in context with the rest of the chapter. So while you're turning there, I want to share a sobering truth with you that I've heard several times in the past month. And even the past week. And that's this. Sadly, the world system is having more of an impact. The world around us is having more of an impact on the church than the church is having on the world. The culture is having a greater impact on the church than the church is having on the culture. Do you agree with that? And if you do, I think it's time for us to ask the question, why? Why is that? So look at 1 Peter 4:17 in your Bibles, and I'll read it to you. For it's time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do obey the gospel of God? So again, taking 1 Peter in context, 1 Peter chapter 4 in context, the Apostle Peter speaks to those fellow believers who are facing tremendous persecution. I mean, they're having it handed to them right now because of their faith. And here's the message that he gives them. He reminds his fellow believers that the trials that they are facing, that what they're going through right now is for their sanctification to the glory of their great God. And the end goal for them, of course, was this: to love God and to trust God so they would lift his name on high. And he went on to say here that judgment starts with the church. Judgment starts with the church. And maybe in your mind you're pushing back right now at this idea. Maybe you're saying, yes, Sam, but this pandemic is not persecution. That's not what we're going through right now. This pandemic is a result of living in a creation that groans, in a creation that is fallen, in a creation that is wrought with sin, beginning all the way back to the fall of Adam, but every one of us has contributed to it in a horrible way. And I would say true. But does not a James 1, does not a Romans 5, does not a Psalm 143 also support that trials, that tribulations are for your growth and my growth? Do we see God shaking right now in that light? This shaking from the Lord, do we see it in that light? Do we have the mercy of our God in view? Remember the view, Master? Do we have the mercy of God in focus? Take in John's words with me and why he was encouraged in his second epistle, 2 John verse 4. I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. Bingo. There it is. That's where it's at. This is what God desires for you and I as His church, to walk in His truths. And I know we've sat under sermons before where this has been talked about. I know we've heard this, but ask yourself this honest question. Do we see the fruit of that? Do we see the fruit of walking in the truth of God's word? We as the church impact the world. History tells us when the church was at its strongest, we impact the world when we humble ourselves and do what? When we yield to God. When we surrender. Revival happens when we, the church, live His word. Let me say it again. Revival happens when we, the church, live His word. And if not, our witness has no bite. Compare it to a man with no teeth that is simply flapping his gums. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, you might remember that from our time in studying this epistle, teaches us that the church has been lavished in, shares in the riches of Christ. And man, are we rich in Christ. Go back and read Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3 so you might be reminded of how God has richly blessed you with spiritual blessings. I encourage you to go back and read that. But he says, look, I've given you these riches so you would have a greater influence on those around you. The world should not have a greater impact. We should have a greater impact as His church. Let me read it to you. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Okay, I asked you to also keep your finger in Revelation. So go ahead and take this time and turn to our last book of the Bible, Revelation. You ever notice how many people call it Revelations? It's Revelation, isn't it? Okay, so Revelation chapter 2 and 3 is where we will be. And I want us to take a look at what the Lord says about sin in His church. When there's sin in the camp, like we see with Achan and Joshua. What sins does God call His church to repent of? So if you're there, look at Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. And this was written to Ephesus, beginning in verse 4. But I have this against you. This is Christ Jesus speaking. I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do not do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. So to sum it up, here's what the Lord does. The Lord points out to the church of Ephesus, here's the issue. You have lost your first love. You've lost your love for me. Your works, even though I see your works, they do not flow from a heart of loving God and loving his people. Works for us as believers, bearing fruit for us as believers, should begin out of our relationship with God. And that convicts me. Let's keep looking. Revelation chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. And this is the church of Smyrna. Revelation 2, verses 9 through 11. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. Isn't this amazing? Jesus speaking to his church. But here's his message to Smyrna. Be faithful to me, no matter what the circumstance. And of course, again, like we just read in 1 Peter, their circumstance was tremendous persecution. But he's saying, no matter what we face, it's our call to lift up his great name, to bring glory to him. If we look on in Revelation chapter 2, look at verses 14 to 16. Pergamum. The church of Pergamum. Here's what it says. But I have few things against you. You have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, so that they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. So also you have some who hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Therefore repent. If not, I will come to you soon and war against them with the sword of my mouth. What was Pergamum called to repent of? They were compromising the truth. They were guilty of mingling the lies of the world, the lies of the world system, with the scripture. When we mingle lies with the scripture ceases to become truth. And there's a lot of that. There was compromise in how they lived. There was compromise in what they believed. This is a dangerous road. And when this happens, here's the result. Our lives are ruled by the flesh. The truth is compromised, and lives are ruled by the flesh. Revelation 2, 20 to 23. I butchered this. Let me try it again. Thyatira. Hey, that was much better. Okay, so here's what it says. Chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of her works. I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. Wow. I am he who searches the mind and heart. The Lord calls Thyatira to surrender to his authority. This is not your church. You're the body, Jesus is saying, and I'm the head. Give me the authority you're called to give. I am the head of the church. And the church was bringing the world and its system into God's church. The people were bringing the world system into God's church. And what happens? What's the result? This leads to sexual immorality and idolatry. Idolatry, such a huge sin in our world. Sexual immorality, such a huge sin that is eating the lunch of so many in our world. Let's keep looking. Revelation chapter 3, verses 2 through 3. Sardis, wake up and strengthen what remains, as it is about to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. The Lord charges Sardis with what? They're spiritually dead. There's no spirit. And even though they had an appearance of being alive, they were actually dead, the Lord is saying. And why? Because this is not surrendering to God and his spirit. Now, Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 to 20. And of course, this is Laodicea. And these are his words to Laodicea. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich. I have prospered. And I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to eat with him, and he with me. For me, these words to Laodicea are terrifying. Notice how our Lord Jesus addressed them. He addressed them as unbelievers. His message is a Matthew 7 message. Depart from me. I do not know you. Matthew 7. They believed they had a saving faith. They had confidence in the fact that they had a saving faith. Remember in Matthew 7, those the Lord is talking about address him as Lord. Lord, look what we did in your name. They thought they had a saving faith, but they were dead wrong. What scary words to hear from the Lord of all. I will spit you out of my mouth. Man. This is the antithesis, is it not, of the words that all of us want to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. So let's sum up the Lord's message to the seven churches. He called them to return to their first love, to return to Him, Jesus. He called them to be faithful in all circumstances. Stop mixing my word, he said to the next church. Stop mixing my word with the lies of the world. He also said, surrender to me. Lay down to my lordship. Lay down your idolatry and your sexual immorality. And let me be Lord of my church. And finally, walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Lots to take in this morning. But here's the question that comes to my mind that I ask you to prayerfully consider. Where has God convicted me personally? What does the path of repentance look like for me? What does it look like for each of us? What does it look like for us as a church? As you're in Revelation chapter 3, I want you to put your finger on verses 8 through 11. And as we read these, as we talk about the Church of Philadelphia, I want us to ask these questions. Do I see this fruit in my life? Do I see these qualities? Is this me? Revelation chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. Again, this is Philadelphia. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power. Let's stop here for a moment. Please notice they understand they're in a place of weakness. Which means what? They understand their dependency upon God. They know they have little strength. Let's keep reading. And yet, you have kept my word. I've underlined that. You have kept my word. Meaning, the word was a part of them. It was a way of life for them. They, as John wrote in his second epistle, they walked in the truths of God's word. They walked in the scriptures. They obeyed the scriptures. And I also underline this next part. And have not denied my name. So because the word defined them, because it was a part of them, the glory of God was paramount to them. The glory of God was what they were after. And it didn't matter what they faced. God, all this is for your glory. God, all this is for a greater purpose. All this has an eternal weight. They saw it through the perspective of the gospel. As Paul says, it's for the furtherance of the gospel. They saw it for his glory. Look at verse 9. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. And then look at verse 10, why I underline this too. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance. What's that mean? They persevered in the Lord. They continued in Christ Jesus. They held on to him. Keep reading. I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world, to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon, and I underline this. Hold fast to what you have. Hold fast to what you have. Why? So that no one may seize your crown. Now, as I take in these words, it convicts. It cuts. It lays my heart bare. And I'll share one thing with you on how it does that. One of the main reasons it cuts here is because I may not compartmentalize my weeks. I know there was a time in my life where I gave the Lord Sunday and I gave the Lord small group night. And then I might dabble a few other times during the week, but I pretty much lived just like the world. And by his grace, that's not me. But here's where the conviction is. I compartmentalize my days. I dabble in the world. I dabble in the word. I dabble in the world. I dabble in the word. Can you relate? A little world, a little word. A little world, a little war. So I need to ask why. I need more of holding fast to my God and his word. So let me say this. As we close here and as we get practical, you may want to take time again to listen to this part. Because I'm going to say quite a few things here. And we probably won't be able to take it in all at once. You may try to take notes here and take it all in, but it'll probably be difficult. But if you want, you can go back and listen to it again. And I'll encourage you to do that if you need to. But let me start here. Keeping God's word goes far beyond just reading his word. Let me say that again. Keeping God's word goes far beyond just reading his word. Where we, the church, have lost our bite, as we addressed earlier, they can be found in the words of Paul and the words of John. They can be found all over Scripture, but let me share too. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Listen to what Paul says. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Let me read another verse to you. 1 John 3:18. Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. So you and I, we need to be careful not to hear God's word here. We hear these words. We hear a 1 John 3. We hear Paul's words to Corinth. And maybe our first reaction is to make a good showing in the flesh. To do the best we can in obeying this. But I want to caution us. Because we need to test ourselves with a question. Are my actions, is what I do, is my behavior fueled out of a love for Christ and my relationship with Him? Is what I do fueled out of a love for Christ and my intimacy with Him? Is it Spirit-led? Is it Christ Jesus living His life in and through me? Along the lines of a Galatians 2:20. Just reading His Word is missing what God has for us. And I thought about it like this. What if I went to the airport and I checked my bags, and then I passed through the bells and whistles of security, and then I went and I sat in the departures area, let's say with American Airlines, but I didn't board the plane. That's what just reading His Word is like. It's missing the purpose. It's missing what God has for us. You see, our Lord desires that we think on it. Who wrote this passage we're reading? Who was it written to? Who was the original audience? What does it teach me about God's attributes? What do I learn about who God is? How does this passage teach me about the gospel? What does it reveal to me about Jesus? What other scriptures relate to this one that I'm reading? Can I go on a search and find other scriptures that relate to the same thing? Can I put it all together in context like a puzzle? And what a search that is to do that. What a pursuit that is to do that. Holding fast to the Word means meditating on it. It's meditating on it when I wake up. It's meditating on it throughout the day. And it's meditating on it even before I sleep. That had to be what was going on in Philadelphia. It's asking God to lead me to the Scriptures. Asking the Spirit to show me what scriptures do I need to camp on. Do you continue to bring me back, Lord, to the same idea again and again? Is there something I'm holding on to that I won't give up? Is there a place I'm refusing to obey you? Where does this passage bring conviction? Where does the Spirit bring that out? Do I see the fruit of this in my life? Is this leading me to repentance as I'm turning back to the Lord, turning away from my sin, and turning back to the Lord? Are there parts of Scripture that the Lord seems to lead me to repeatedly? What is He teaching me? What is He speaking to my heart? Where is God asking me to change? And am I changing? The Word should not just change my thoughts. The Word should change my heart. or maybe a better way to say the word should change my heart is the word should change my desires. And the word should also transform my way of life. So we have my mind, my heart, and how I live. So ask this question. Has the word shaped my identity? Have I grabbed a hold of who I am in the Lord? Again, go back and read Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3 and hide those words in your heart. Does the word affect my vocational life? Kids, is the words that mom and dad are sharing with you, are they affecting how you study, how you interact with your friends? Does it affect my habits? Does it affect my family life? Does it affect how I respond to my church family, to my coworkers, to my neighbors, to those around me? Does it affect how I spend my time? Has it made me a good steward? And do I see myself as a steward of what God has given me? When I read God's word, a good question to ask is, what does this word look like boots to the ground? What does this word look like lived out? What would that look like if God lived this in and through me? Am I reflecting on whether I do that? Am I examining my heart to see if that is true? Am I praying over what I read? Does His word lead me to love Him and praise Him and worship Him more? When the word through the Spirit produces Psalm 86:11, I'll read it in just a moment. This is what happens. Teach me your way, O Lord. Why? That I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. And you can use your favorite action verb, going back to my first grade days, to think about how you attack the Word of God. How you hold fast to the Word of God. How you walk in the Word of God. But when that happens, then you and I begin to speak it with each other. There are some of you I love to have conversations with because you're such an encouragement. And it gets to the point where you speak the truth. You speak the truth. And what a blessing that is to each other. When we speak the truth to each other, when we don't talk about the weather, but we speak about the truth to one another, we can't help it because we've held fast to it. We can't help it because we've hidden the truths in our life. And like Philadelphia, it's become a part of us. It's become our essence. It's become a way of life. And then that's when the church has teeth. Then that's when we share it with the world around us. We speak it and we walk in it. And remember, this beautiful book, this Bible that we hold in our hands right now, these precious truths are meant to lead us into a relationship with the Lord, walking closely with Him. Acknowledging Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understandings, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. I think I mixed some King James, some NIV in there all together. That's okay. Do we see what's taking place in our world as God's mercy? And do we understand, as Peter says, that repentance has to start with the church. When the church repents, when you and I repent, and remember that's ongoing, that's continual. My life should be one of regular conviction because I live in a body of sin and death, as Paul says. I walk in the flesh, as Paul says. So there should be conviction. There should be conviction. There should be repentance. Laying my heart bare before the Lord and turning back to Him again and again. When the church repents and walks in the truths of Scripture, then revival takes place. Before we pray, let me encourage you with a few scriptures. No, let me just do one. And maybe this week we can send some scriptures out. Let me do that. Isaiah 30:21. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right, or when you turn to the left. Reminds us of the Shema, doesn't it? No matter what we're doing, the Lord's desire, joy for us, His love for us, is reminding us today that no matter where we go, His will is for us to walk in His truths. Let's pray. Now, Father, that is a lot to take in. And God, here's what we ask you. I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord. I miss my brothers and sisters. I thank you, Lord, that we can FaceTime, Lord, that many of us are FaceTiming, that many of us are texting, Lord, that many of us are calling, Lord, that we're discovering new apps and how we can relate, how we can spend time together with one another. We praise you for that. But Lord, I pray for each of them, Lord. I pray for the adults and the kiddos, Lord. And I ask you, God, that you would take your word today and you would show us where repentance is. You would show us where we need to grow in holding fast to your word, Lord. Help us take a step, Lord. Help us take a step to walk in the truths that we know, Lord. We don't want to be those who are puffed up. We don't want to be those who know the word to win an argument or to sound like the smartest guy in the room, Lord. But instead, we want to be those who love your truths, who walk in your truths, because they lead us closer to you and they make us love you and they make us bring glory to you. Spirit of the living God, we pray and ask that you help us with that this week. Will you remind us we need you? We are desperate, Lord. Like Philadelphia, we understand we are in a place with little strength. We understand that we are weak in this. We understand, Lord, that we fight the flesh and we need you. Will you help us spend the time this week to do this like we would on something else in our lives, Lord. We prioritize what's important to us, God. We spend time on the things that we enjoy. Let that be with you, Lord. Let that be holding fast to your word and walking in your truths. We love you. We confess our sin to you, Lord. We turn back to you, Lord. I pray not only for our church, Lord, but I pray that you move in local bodies all around us, Lord. That you would bring us all to a place of understanding, God, that we've lost our teeth. We've lost our spiritual teeth, Lord. And so lead your church to repent for your glory, and so that you might be known and seen, and many would come to life in you. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray together. Amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from Foundation Life Bible Church, located in Greenwood, Indiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. For more information about Foundation Life Bible Church, please visit us online at www.foundationlbc.com.